Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. So, wholesalers, I was out looking at horse's mouth. This goes back a couple of weeks. And I saw a really interesting article by a gentleman by the name of Dan Richards. And for our listeners north of the border, he will be likely a household name in the financial advisor community. Dan Richards has spent 25 years being recognized for his insights on attracting and retaining clients. He wrote a book, Getting Clients, Keeping Clients, Essential Strategies for Tomorrow's Financial Advisor. And he has been the president of a broker-dealer, the CEO, actually, of a broker-dealer with about 3,500 advisors. He also is an award-winning instructor at the MBA program of the University of Toronto. You've seen him on Horse's Mouth. If you're in Canada, you would know him from various publications there. He's also on advisorperspectives.com. We are honored and delighted to have Dan Richards at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Dan, welcome.
Delighted to be here, Rob.
So we want to talk today about a topic which you suggested, which is near and dear to my heart, as we discussed in the pre-call. We've discussed it with other guest experts. We talk about it at Wholesaler Masterminds via MQ Memorability Quotient. You have an interesting outlook on it called the Curse of Conformity. So let's set the stage. What is the core idea behind Curse of Conformity?
Well, Rob, I think everybody has heard the expression that if you do the same things over and over and expect a different outcome, that's the definition of insanity.
It is.
And so the variation in the theme, if you do the same thing, if you're an advisor, you do the same thing as other advisors. If you're a wholesaler and you do the same thing as other wholesalers, no matter how hard you work at it, no matter how well-intended, you do the same thing as other people and you expect a different outcome, that's a different version of insanity. You can't do the same thing as other people and expect a different outcome.
So how do we keep our listeners, our listener wholesalers, out of the rubber room? What can wholesalers do to avoid this problem?
Well, Rob, it starts with awareness. It starts with understanding that if you run the same seminars as other wholesalers, you run the same meetings as other wholesalers, you take advisors to the same venues for a golf game or lunch, if you send them the same article, if you do the same thing as other people and your competitors and expect to get a different result, well, chances are you're going to be disappointed. It starts with that level of awareness that in everything you do, you got to find a twist, a way to be different, to avoid that curse of conformity.
Mm-hmm. So give me some thoughts here. Give me something that our listeners can hang their hat on. What are some examples that you have?
Sure. So I believe that advisors and wholesalers, most of the work that I do is for advisors, but I think it applies to wholesalers as well. I know it does. There are three criteria that you have to think about as applying to all of the things you do. First of all, is it updated? Because if you do the things that that your customers expect, guess what? You're not going to be different. Is it personal? Does it look like it's customized and tailored to their situation? Because if it's not, it just looks like a mass assembly line, the same emails, the same presentations you do for everybody else. And does it avoid the self-serving trap? Because if it looks like you're doing stuff because it's driving your own self-interest, it's not really differentiated. And, you know, you mentioned horse's mouth. I had a top-rated article where I talked about doing a roundtable with investors. And these were all very, very successful multimillion-dollar investors, and one of them was a doctor. And she said, you know, I've got a phenomenal advisor. She's just out of this world. And, you know, I'd been working with her for 30 years. And right when we started, I told her I was taking up golf. And I get in the mail a couple of days later this book, you know, the World's Funniest Golf Jokes. I showed it to my pro, and he just fell over laughing with a personalized note inside. And then when we had our first child, just a little bit after that, I got a note again, congratulations, when I told her that we were expecting. And again, it was a note, you know, with a booklet on it with everything a parent's guide, all right, to children. And then when my son became his wife, were expecting their first kid. We had a meeting, and I went in there, and she had a book for him and his wife. But all very kind of funny, upbeat. And she said, well, how can you not love someone who cares that much? And everyone in the room was saying, wow, that's amazing. And, in fact, afterwards I noticed one of the other clients in the room hung back, and I suspected she wanted to get her advisor's name. So I, in fact, got her advisor's name, and I called this woman, and she laughed, and she said, you know, I'm glad that Patty has been impressed. And, you know, I've been in the business 30-plus years, and I realized I needed to do something different to build relationships, but I couldn't do it by taking people to lunch, didn't have the money, and golfing's not my style. But I realized that my clients were going through life-changing events. They were buying houses, they were having kids, they were getting promoted. And so I went to a bookstore, and I just spent a Saturday morning, and I just found a bunch of paperbacks on cartoons, all related to life events. And it was pretty cheap at the time, maybe $2, $3, $4, remember, 30 years ago. And I began sending them to clients whenever they talked about those events. And that's kind of become my signature. And today, we actually have a cabinet where we have 40 different books on different things. Because my clients are retired now. They're going on holidays to Europe or the Caribbean. And we have an inventory of books on all the different topics.
So this is still the advisor telling you this.
This is the advisor.
Yeah.
And so what's really interesting, she says, is this. You know, you take a look at Patty. I've invested, what, over the years, over 30 years, I've invested, what, maybe $50 in these books? And look at the impact it's had.
Yeah.
Completely out of proportion to the actual dollar amount. So why is it? Why is it that she had that kind of, and I can guarantee you that the other clients in that room, their advisors were taking them to expensive lunches and dinners that cost them multiples of that $50.
So, Dan, I want to ask you some questions around these three criteria. But before I do, wholesalers, I want to remind you of something very important that's happening. Dan is going to be writing an article for I Carry the Bag magazine. And if you don't know, I want you to know that effective with the most recent issue coming up in the spring, I Carry the Bag is now available with an iPad app, also available in the Google Play Store. We have reduced the price of I Carry the Bag. It is now able to be printed online, any one story or the entire magazine in its entirety. We're going digital only, folks. So jump on over to iCarryTheBag at iCarryTheBag.com. See Dan's next article. Pick up a subscription. Access it via the app, and you can take it with you wherever you go because you can download every issue. Dan, I want to talk about these three criteria. Tell me something about avoiding the self-serving trap, because somebody might hear that. Somebody might hear that and go, well, Dan, we're in sales. Everybody knows I'm after something. I'm not doing this pro bono. What are your thoughts on that?
Sure. And I think you're absolutely right, Rob. Everybody recognizes that, and particularly advisors. In fact, frankly, advisors are a much easier audience to market to than end clients because advisors are in business for themselves. They know that everyone has to make a buck. What you have to do, though, is always focus on win-win. And nobody has a problem with win-win as long as their win comes first. And if it ends up being where a wholesaler's win is much bigger than the advisor's, or there maybe isn't that much of a win for the advisor, guess what? Then that's where it becomes self-serving. So you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be altruistic. It shouldn't be altruistic. But you have to have very clearly that communication that this isn't all about me. You come first. And by the way, I'm going to benefit indirectly from that.
All right, let me ask you about this other one, because there's people that you're speaking to, you're in their ear right this very moment, they're thinking, personal. Dan, please, man, I got a list of 250 right. people that are my regular advisors that I call on with frequency, another 50 that are the people that I covet, my prospects.
Right.
Personalization for 300 people, how do you figure?
Well, it's a challenge. It's not easy to do. And if you have to communicate this, you know, 100, 200 at a time, it's not going to happen. But think about what this advisor did, where she identified common themes, right? Mm-hmm. She identified what are the common issues that
yeah.
we run into.
Yeah, life events in this case.
Life events in that case, mm-hmm. but it can be business issues, business challenges in the case of wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, one of the things that this advisor told me, she said, look, a key to making this work is that we have the cabinet, we have the books there. If we had to go to Amazon to order those books to send them, it wouldn't happen. So think about this from a wholesaler's perspective. If one of the things you want to do is make it personal, it doesn't have to be personal. It just has to appear to be personal. And so you've been talking to a wholesaler about their number one problem. And maybe their number one problem is getting a bigger share of their top client's book, for example. Mm-hmm. Or maybe their number one problem is developing professional referrals with a key center of influence in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't believe that wholesalers should send any article broadly, no matter how riveting, no matter how interesting it is, to all of their advisors. Because if you're sending the same article to everybody, there's no way it's going to apply to everybody. But if you send, let's suppose you've got 100 advisors that are in your target, and one of their issues is developing professional referrals, and you've got a great resource that you found on developing professional referrals, and you send it to them and said, Rob, you know, thought of you when I saw this. I know that professional referrals are a key issue for you this year. Thought you might find this helpful.
You know, when you say that, Dan, something comes to mind. Wholesalers, I want to give you this idea because I'm thinking about your process every day. I'm thinking about what you can do that is implementable from Dan's great suggestion and also make it so that the lifting isn't too terribly heavy, because some of you have internal, some of you don't have internal. Some of you have admins, some of you don't have admins. So one of the things you may want to do to Dan's suggestion is go identify five books that you know will address individual circumstances that you hear advisors talk about in their practices every single day. God knows you've had enough appointments. Identify five books. Go out and order a supply, if you will, maybe 10, 15, 20 of each book, and have them on hand. And remember, you know my favorite trick, wholesalers, is you want to be able to inscribe the front cover. Heard you speak about your challenges with referrals. Hope this book assists you, and then send it to them. I think that's what you're talking about, something like that, Dan. Is that
that's
right?
That's the same idea, mm-hmm. but you know, but a bit of a variation.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I personally, Rob, am not a big fan of sending books.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to guess on the reason for that, the reason I'm not a big fan of sending books?
Well, I am always interested in other opinions. We're a big fan on it, but go ahead.
Well,
tell me why.
Here's my view.
Yep.
And this comes from talking to advisors.
Yep.
The vast majority of books sit on the shelf, don't get opened, and whatever benefit comes to the advisor comes by osmosis. Now, there are going to be exceptions. If a wholesaler has an advisor that is a key client that they know reads on a regular basis, great. You can say, I know that you're disciplined about reading, thought this book would be helpful.
So let me.
But I'm a much bigger fan on bite-sized chunks.
I don't disagree. Let me give you our yang to your yin, okay?
Right.
Our yang is everybody may not read that book,
right.
But when they get the book, they'll crack open the front cover and see that it came from
right.
you. Then the
right.
premise is that I'll bet you can look at your bookcase today
right.
and look at that book, look at your assortment of books and have a recollection as to who gave it to you. So we think that the osmosis factor that you
right.
speak about actually has some power, because you can look at the shelf and go, well, you know, that the story that I tell, Dan, is I have a book that was given to me, written by Alvin Toffler
right.
back in the 80s. And I can tell you it was given to me by a Franklin wholesaler named Diane. And that's all I remember. And by the way, I never read the book,
right.
but I knew who gave it to me. So that's
but
our
coming.
That's our
coming back to simplifying your process.
Yep, absolutely.
Here's something that I would consider.
Yep.
And that I actually do this for my own key prospects and clients.
Okay.
Where we categorize them in our contact management system by their key priorities, so that if you find a great article or a great book or a great podcast or a great video.
Mm-hmm.
And it relates to professional referrals, for example. Well, you know instantly who the 60 or 40 or 80 or 100 advisors that you're covering to whom that book pertains, or that article or that podcast or that video. So you don't actually have to think about this. I mean, my view is that every advisor can categorize clients into groupings based on, what, one of maybe 10 hot buttons?
Mm-hmm.
And so if there are 10 hot buttons, and it may be that some advisors all 10 pertain to, others may only be 2 or 3, but you know, without having to think about it, who the advisors in your base, who a specific topic is a hot button on.
You know, Dan, that's a phenomenal idea. So wholesalers, let's translate that, right? So go out to Salesforce, and in Salesforce, create 5, 7, 10 different tags. Put those tags on your top 200, 250. Search Salesforce by the tag when you see something that is of interest that you know fits one of those 5, 7, 10 categories. And then to Dan's point, tell me if I'm on the right track, Dan, you could do an email or a snail mail or whatever it is specifically based on that tag to that population of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's suppose that client events is an issue.
Yep.
Right? So you've got advisors who are frustrated because the client events that they run maybe worked at one point in time, no longer work. And so you come across a great idea in a client event. So you're able to shoot that out to the right advisors and personalize the message.
Yep.
So that's exactly what we're talking about, Rob.
That's awesome. Well, time flies when you're having a great conversation. And alas, we are out of time. But I do want to mention, wholesalers, if you have a chance, jump out to Dan's website. It's clientinsights.ca. Clientinsights.ca. He has put together and continues to deliver this amazing library of video. Video with portfolio managers, video for business building, video with top experts. I would implore you to go out there and check it out, and also check out his article coming up in I Carry the Bag magazine. Dan Richards, thank you for spending time with us at Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Rob, it's my absolute pleasure.
Wholesalers, come back again next time for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.